Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and in the next half-hour segment, we're going to continue with an analysis of some of the background to the crisis in Kosovo and what used to be Yugoslavia, and for the benefit of people who eventually hear this on tape, this is being recorded on the evening of April 4th of 1999, Easter Sunday, also the anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination. In the last half-hour segment, we not only took a look at the background of Alija Izetbegović, the first president of Bosnia when it became independent. His background was with the Hanjar Division, a Bosnian Muslim Waffen-SS division. We also took a look at the Croatian Ustashi fascists as part of a Nazi emigre milieu, which was very powerful not only within the U.S. intelligence system by virtue of the Reinhard Galen spy outfit I've spoken about so often, but also by virtue of the Crusade for Freedom, an illegal domestic intelligence operation which imported not only Nazi war criminals but fascist collaborators from Eastern Europe, including and especially Ustashi collaborators, where they were brought into the United States, resettled in areas where their power as electoral leaders was felt to be most usefully deployed. In particular, they were settled in areas that had large Jewish populations, and the Croatian Ustashi went on to play a very key role in the Republican Ethnic Outreach Unit, that itself basically a Nazi element of the Republican Party, something I've discussed in numerous programs, including the Miscellaneous Archive show entitled Nazis and Anti-Semites on the Bush Campaign, also RFA program number 37, among other broadcasts, and check the Spitfire list for descriptions of some of these programs. Note again the involvement of George Bush with this Nazi milieu, including and especially the Croatian Ustashi. Bear in mind also that his national security advisor at the time when Bush backed up Helmut Kohl in Germany in recognizing the secession of Croatia from the and also Slovenia from the Yugoslav Federation. Bear in mind that Brent Scowcroft, his national security advisor, spoke fluent Croatian. Also bear in mind something we did not touch on in the first half hour, namely that the American branch of the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, basically the military wing of the Catholic Church, in effect, financed Croatian independence through a $2 billion interest-free loan secured through the auspices of the American branch of the Knights of Malta. One of the key members of the American branch of the Knights of Malta was William Casey, who was Ronald Reagan's CIA director, and also, obviously, a key player in that milieu. When Croatia launched Operation Storm, an offensive in August of 1995 with the aid of both the United States and Germany, they were guilty of ethnic cleansing, and this is not something that the American people have been told a great deal about, but I think it's important to understand in terms of assessing the hostilities that are going on now in what used to be Yugoslavia. In addition to slaughtering hundreds of thousands of Serbs, the Croatian Ustashi were extremely brutal in their executions. They used tongue extractions, beheadings, and all sorts of manner of all sorts of brutal forms of execution, and horrified even the SS. And excesses against the Serbs were by no means limited to the Second World War. The New York Times carried the following story on Sunday, March 21st of 1999. This is an article by Raymond Bonner, B-O-N-N-E-R, datelined Washington, March 20th, and headlined, War Crimes Panel Finds Croat Troops Cleansed the Serbs, and it reads in part as follows. Investigators at the International War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague have concluded that the Croatian army carried out summary executions, indiscriminate shelling of civilian populations, and, quote, ethnic cleansing, unquote, during a 1995 assault that was a turning point in the Balkan Wars, according to tribunal documents. The investigators have recommended that three Croatian generals be indicted, and an American official said this week that the indictments could come within a few weeks. The indictments would be the first of Croatian army officers for actions in the Balkan Wars of 1991 to 1995, which first pitted a Croatia seeking independence against rebel Serbs and Serbia proper, and then moved to Bosnia. Any indictment of Croatian army generals could prove politically troublesome for the Clinton administration, which has a delicate relationship with Croatia, an American ally in preserving the peace in Bosnia with a poor human rights record. the August 1995 Croatian offensive, which drove some 100,000 Serbs from a large swath of Croatia over 4 days, was carried out with the tacit blessing of the United States by a Croatian army that had been schooled in part by a group of retired American military officers. And skipping down, among those who might be indicted for war crimes is none other than President Franjo Tuđman himself. Skipping down in this article, the investigators have also recently begun looking into whether the Croatian president, Franjo Tuđman, should be held responsible under international law for his role in the assault, tribunal, and American officials said. So note that the political support that the Croatian Ustaše enjoyed not only from Germany but also in the post-war period from the United States bore fruit in terms of the American political and military relationship with Croatia once Yugoslavia was broken up. The current unpleasantness in what used to be Yugoslavia is not being waged over the nominal independence of Kosovo, but rather over the stationing of 28,000 NATO troops in Kosovo to ensure that the situation there would remain placid. That's basically what this is about, and the American people have not, for the most part, been told this. This was, however, discussed in an op-ed column that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, March 24th, of 1999. This column is by Rick Roden, R-O-W-D-E-N, who teaches at Cal State University in Monterey Bay. It's headlined, Clinton to Bomb Again, Now Serbia. Subtitled, Is the U.S. Interest to Stop the Killing or to Expand the Police Power of NATO? This column reads in part, skipping down, The real issue over which the United States and Milosevic are at loggerheads is not the fate of Kosovo. On that, they already agree. The Serbs have said they would accept returning autonomy to the province as long as it remained part of Yugoslavia, but that the U.S. plan calls for the stationing of 28,000 NATO troops on Yugoslav soil in Kosovo to keep the peace. It is over that issue that the bombs are being dropped. I would say that's one of the issues over which the bombs are being dropped. A tip of the hat goes to a listener who got the following for us from an English-language Italian publication called Headlines, and this is from Headlines issue of June of 1993. Now, recall that George Bush, former CIA director and intimate of this Nazi emigre milieu that we talked about in our first half-hour segment, was president of the United States when Yugoslavia dissolved. He backed up Helmut Kohl in Germany in extending recognition to Croatia and to Slovenia. Bear in mind that he also was an old oil man. This, again, from research for us by a listener from Headlines, an English-language Italian publication from June of 1993. Talking about petroleum exploration and discovery in the Balkans, the article writes, skipping, this is, by the way, called Fresh Event in the Balkans. It's by Peter Fend, F-E-N-D. This reads, The first targeted market is Albania. There, as Ocean Earth reports, the big American oil companies have quite cynically come in, along with funds from the current Saudi government, to start drilling for oil in the Adriatic Sea. And skipping down, the oil company initiatives coincide with statements from former President Bush, an old oil man himself, that if there should be any trouble in Kosovo, adjacent to Albania, then in would go the American troops. And although Bush is no longer president, at least nominally no longer president, although he has a lot of the same political backers as Bill Clinton, I would note President Bush's statement, and I think one former President Bush's statement. Note again Bush's involvement with the Ustaše and the other Nazi emigre. Note also that he was president when Yugoslavia broke up, and that he's an oil man, and I would not take his statement lightly. As of April 4th, 1999, troops have not gone in yet, but it looks like they may very well go in. Another of the aspects of the background of the conflict in the former Yugoslavia that's not getting discussion is the profound role that Germany has played in this conflict. The Germans have in many ways shepherded the same Croatian fascists that they sponsored in the Second World War, this in the bowels of the Galen spy outfit that I've spoken about, as well as the very closely related anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. That's a key element of the former World Anti-Communist League and is basically a recapitulation of the Committee of Subjugated Nations formed by Adolf Hitler in 1943 as a consortium of Central and Eastern European fascist groups allied with the Third Reich. Again, it was Germany that forced the EU to extend diplomatic recognition to Slovenia and Croatia. Initially, the EU voted 11-1 to maintain the integrity of the Yugoslav Federation and to avoid recognizing the secession of Slovenia and Croatia. The Germans did some arm twisting, reversed that, and among the arms they apparently twisted, probably not too hard, was that of George Bush. I would note also that Germany has played a significant role in the combat in Yugoslavia, albeit one that has not had a lot of publicity. The first time Germany has formally used its armed forces at war has been in the Kosovo action of 1999. The San Francisco Examiner carried an interesting little article on its Friday, March 26th issue. This is a Reuters story, datelined Wellington, New Zealand headline, "Serbs equate NATO to Hitler during World War II." About 200 Serbs, some chanting Sieg Heil, protested on Friday outside the German embassy in Wellington against German participation in NATO raids against Yugoslavia. They marched from the British High Commission to the U.S. embassy and then the German embassy, carrying posters accusing NATO powers of acting like Nazi leader Adolf Hitler in World War II. To far too great an extent, what would appear to be a preposterous claim to the average American has considerable merit, and indeed I think one of the reasons why the Serbs are so closely identifying the NATO actions with the actions of the Axis in World War II is the role not only of Germany in breaking up Yugoslavia, but indeed some of the affiliations that I've already touched on, the Croatian Ustashi with both their American and German protectors, and the elevation to the presidency of the newly independent Bosnia of former Waffen-SS operative Alija Izetbegović. The New York Times of that same day, Friday, March 26th of 1999, carried an article about Germany's participation in the attack on Serbia, and also had some interesting background about Germany's support for the Croatian Ustashi and the recapitulation of that regime in the newly, quote, independent, unquote, Croatia. This again from the New York Times of 3/26/99. It's an article by Roger Cohen, datelined Berlin, March 25th, and headlined, "Half a Century After Hitler, German Jets Join the Attack," and it reads in part as follows. "For the first time since the end of World War II, German fighter jets have gone to war, taking part in the attack on Yugoslavia as part of a NATO force and marking this country's definitive emancipation from post-war pacifism." Rudolf Scharping, the German defense minister, said four Tornado jets took off from their Piacenza base in northern Italy late Wednesday and participated in the NATO mission before returning safely. The German parliament has authorized up to 15 military aircraft to take part in the airstrikes. Germany reacted calmly, indicating a profound change in its psyche since the fall of the Berlin Wall. And skipping down, "The German participation in air raids on Yugoslavia is potentially explosive, for it will confirm every dark Serbian suspicion about the West. If there has been a single obsession in Serbian policy this century, it has been to prevent what Belgrade sees as German expansionism in the Balkans." Quote, "We are not ready to make a distinction between the bombs of Adolf Hitler from 1941 and the bombs of NATO," unquote, Vuk Drašković, Draskovic, the Yugoslavian deputy prime minister, said. "Strong German support for Croatian independence from Yugoslavia and Croatia's adoption of the hymn Danke Deutschland when that independence came in 1991 only reinforced Serbian misgivings." By the way, I would note that Serbian protesters were obviously being to a certain extent facetious when they talked about when they chanted Heil Hitler. When Volker Ruhe, Rudolf Scharping's predecessor as German defense minister, visited German peacekeeping troops in what used to be Yugoslavia, they greeted him with the cry of Sieg Heil, and they did not mean it as any sort of a joke. It was stated it was done with enthusiasm. What this article has touched on is the sensitivity of the German participation in the military effort against the Serbs in terms of the Serb viewpoint, and it also touches on the very real German sponsorship of the recapitulation of the old fascist Ustashi collaborationist regime in the Franjo Tudjman government. We should also note that there's been in addition to the diplomatic support, there's been strong German military support for the Croatians as well. And indeed, in the very same military campaign that the U.S. assisted in, the August 1995 offensive called Operation Storm, Germany liberally aided the Croatian effort as well. We're going to hear another section of FTR 48, Germany, Croatia, and the U.S., this available from Spitfire. And what you're going to hear are some excerpts from the Germany Alert newsletter. And this concerns the German participation in that very same Croatian offensive. We're going to begin by taking a look at an article from the magnificent Germany Alert newsletter, one of the very best sources for information about the reemergence of German fascism. The Germany Alert of August 11th, 1995, has the following story headlined, Germany Covers Up Croatian Murders. This deals with the recent Croatian offensive in what used to be Yugoslavia, and in particular the German backing for that Croatian offensive. And as we shall see, there was ample United States backing for that offensive as well. Indeed, there is every indication that a U.S. covert operation helped to militarily buttress the Croatian offensive. As we shall see, and as we have seen in past broadcasts, in particular the archive shows available from Archives on Audio, the German-American-Croatian cooperation has had much to do with precipitating the crisis in the former Yugoslavia. In particular, as we looked at in supplements to Radio Free America program number 36, as well as in an earlier series of segments dealing with Reunited Germany, the New Danger, German and American backing for the secession of Croatia and Slovenia from what used to be Yugoslavia precipitated the breakup and the current crisis. Again, I refer listeners to Radio Free America program number 36, in particular a supplement to that from the summer of 1993, and also earlier segments in the 13-part series dealing with Reunited Germany, the New Danger. This particular article, again from Germany Alert of August 11th of 1995, is headlined, Germany Covers Up Croatian Murders. It's dateline Sarajevo, and it reads, United Nations officials, Great Britain, and France are among the stunned parties to the German-planned, U.S.-backed Croatian blitzkrieg that has set off the largest human refugee catastrophe in Europe since World War II. Croatia used tanks and guns supplied by Germany, most of them from the former East German Army, as it shelled refugees trying to flee its troops, most of whom were trained by the German Bundeswehr. In Zagreb, President Franjo Tudjman, a nationalist and anti-Semite, thanked Chancellor Helmut Kohl and Foreign Minister Klaus Kinkel for all their support. Tudjman had a lot to be thankful for. In addition to inventing Croatia 5 years ago, as it did under Hitler, the only other time the place was called, quote, independent, unquote, Germany ran the public relations blitz which accompanied the battle plan. A contingent from the German Interior Ministry, two units from Bonn's Foreign Affairs Department, and German media specialists, believed to be BND espionage agents, stage-managed a highly successful effort to minimize negative Croatian press. UN officials, French officials, British military brass, and journalists expressed astonishment that Croatian atrocities, like the shelling of fleeing Serbian refugees, received very low-level, quote, play, unquote, in the media compared to atrocities blamed on Serbs. A Dutch military official, who declined to be quoted by name, declared that Germany and the U.S. had succeeded in internationalizing the Yugoslav civil war in their action. Quote, that is the most irresponsible action of all, unquote, the official said. By the way, in previous archive shows, in particular Radio Free America number 37, the massive 45-hour archive show dealing with, or entitled, I should say, How the United States Lost the Second World War, the profound German fascist and Nazi influence on the American political and national security establishments is described. Also the American industrial and financial establishments as well. By the way, we're going to be going back into the German, Nazi, fascist, and Croatian fascist influence on the American political and national security establishments in the second part of this series, the very next segment. That, again, from Germany Alert of August 11th, 1995. Note that in addition to the diplomatic support of the German government, which, again, helped to precipitate the current crisis in the former Yugoslavia, note that the Croatian army has relied heavily heavily for training and equipment on the German military that we also dealt with in the Reunited Germany, the New Danger series. Note also that the German Interior Ministry, Foreign Affairs Department, and also German media specialists believed to be agents of the BND, the German Intelligence Service, in turn evolved from the Reinhard Gehlen Nazi Eastern Front spy outfit that we've talked about so often, were, according to Germany Alert, instrumental in helping to effect a very effective media campaign minimizing Croatian atrocities. That again from For the Record segment 48, available from Spitfire. And in addition to their support for the Croatian offensive, and indeed their pivotal diplomatic backing for the secession of Croatia and Slovenia, Slovenia, by the way, already scheduled for entry into the European Union, Germany has also lent support to the Kosovo Liberation Army, this through Albania, which backs the Kosovo Liberation Army. This is something that we're not getting told about in the United States, and something which no doubt is informing and inflaming Serbian opinion. We're going to once again access some information from the Germany Alert newsletter. This is from the Germany Alert newsletter of early November of 1998, and the discussion you're about to hear is excerpted from FTR program 120 called Update on Germany. FTR, by the way, stands for the Record. This again, an article from Germany Alert from early November of 1998, and this in turn excerpted from For the Record program number 120, entitled Update on Germany. German weapons shipments to Albania revealed. And Germany Alert can be found on the web. Their address is germany.alert.com. And again, you can find that on the World Wide Web. And again, this is from the latest edition of Germany Alert. This is entitled German Weapons Shipments to Albania Revealed. And this reads, German weapons have been sent since 1990 to the Albanian government, according to a report on German television. The Monitor program also reported that the German military, the Bundeswehr, conducts joint exercises with the Albanian military, which is known to fund and supply the Albanian separatist army, the UCK. German weapons have also been found with UCK fighters, including the Ambrust anti-tank grenade launcher developed for the Bundeswehr by weapons manufacturer MBB. According to the news magazine Program, the German BND has had a legal residence in Tirana since 1990. Monitor quoted a source as saying, quote, in 1990 through 91, German military intelligence, or MAD, repeatedly delivered electronic and optical observation and radio equipment to the Albanian intelligence service. The observation equipment came from East German leftover Stasi equipment. German military intelligence officials trained the Albanian intelligence officials in the use of this equipment. Albanian intelligence has transferred the German-supplied equipment and weapons to the Albanian separatist army, the UCK, in Kosovo. The German Defense Ministry denies MAD supplies were sent to Albania, but Monitor quotes several sources from the BND and from the MAD Section 3 who witnessed the training. So German arms now finding their way to the Kosovo Liberation Army, further fracturing what used to be Yugoslavia. That again excerpted from FTR program number 120, Update on Germany. While the bombs have begun falling in what used to be Yugoslavia, there has been some interesting diplomatic maneuvering that Germany has been engaging in the context of the European Union. And Germany at this time is holding, as I speak, on April 4th of 1999, holds the rotating presidency of the EU. The following is from the Financial Times of London, Friday, March 26th of 1999. It's by Peter Norman, Michael Smith, and Haig Simonian in Berlin. Its headline, Schroeder Tries to Rescue EU Reform Talks, and it reads in part as follows. Gerhard Schroeder, Germany's chancellor, last night put forward an elaborate compromise in a bid to rescue negotiations on far-reaching reforms of European Union policies and finances. The reforms are intended to prepare the 15-nation group to accept new members from the former communist countries of Eastern Europe in the next decade. Note that last sentence, as it's a critical one. The reforms are intended to prepare the 15-nation group to accept new members from the former communist countries of Eastern Europe in the next decade. One of those countries, by the way, is Slovenia, part of what used to be Yugoslavia. And one should not underestimate the effort here on behalf of Gerhard Schroeder to facilitate the entry of former Eastern European countries into the German-dominated EU. The more Germany is able to sponsor their entry, the more those countries will become client states of Germany, as Croatia and Slovenia already are. This will in turn maximize German control over the European Union. There was another very interesting and I think very telling bit of maneuvering by Gerhard Schroeder with regard to the European Union. This from the New York Times of Saturday, March 27th of 1999. This is an article by Roger Cohen, datelined Berlin, March 26th, and headlined, "Statesman Like Schroeder Pulls Harmony from Europe's Hat." Showing a statesmanship that had seemed to elude him, Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder guided the European Union early today to a landmark agreement to hold down its spending enough to enable three Central European countries to join. The Union also advocated Palestinian statehood within the next year in more forthright terms than it had previously used or than the United States has ever backed, provoking a furious reaction from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. I would add that advocacy of Palestinian statehood will certainly earn Germany diplomatic currency among Muslim nations, including the population of Kosovo, which is largely Muslim. There's a large Muslim population in Albania. Obviously, Bosnia is a Muslim nation. So this particular bit of maneuvering by Gerhard Schroeder. One, holding down the EU budget or projected EU budget in the next early part of the next century to permit the entry of Central European countries, former members of the Soviet bloc. Slovenia, by the way, is already going to be entering. That and endorsing Palestinian statehood, a move which will certainly enhance German diplomatic status in Muslim nations, are both, I think, to be viewed with great interest by someone assessing what is going on in the former Yugoslavia. And indeed, as nations in Europe are fragmented, and bear in mind that Germany precipitated the breakup of Yugoslavia and the breakup of Czechoslovakia and has been behaving in a similar fashion vis-a-vis Poland, in which Silesian Germans in Poland were allowed to vote in the last German election, this precipitating saber-rattling by people like Lech Walesa. Keep an eye on German backing for the fragmenting of sovereign nations and watch some of the nations resulting from that fragmenting becoming German client states, which will enhance the German influence within the European Union. It'll be interesting to watch the reception on the part of Muslim countries of this statement that Gerhard Schroeder came up with at this very same conference. In addition, also on the American side, as the unpleasantness in Kosovo unfolds, keep an eye peeled to see whether the quagmire and the crisis that was precipitated in part by George Herbert Walker Bush, the former CIA director, president, and intimate of the Croatian and Nazi emigre milieu that we talked about in the first half-hour segment of this program, it'll be interesting to see if the political fallout from that helps to defeat the Democrats in the year 2000 and to put George Bush's son, George W. Bush, into the White House. These are some of the things to keep our eyes on. Again, due to the limitations of time, I've had to attenuate the supplemental discussion of this program. I refer interested listeners to, among other programs, RFA programs 36 and 37, the For the Record programs 48 and 50 for supplemental discussion about some of these matters. All of the programs that I've alluded to are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. Archives on Audio is now defunct. Spitfire, one word, Spitfire, can be reached at P.O. Box 1179, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire, spitfire@ix.netcom.com, and the website for Spitfire, www.spitfirelist.com. That's www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire List is one word. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.